God bless you. Well, everybody came to hear us sing, yes? All right. You mind if we send the Bema here? Okay. How many like country western music? Okay. Hebrew music is kind of country western. Well, you know, it's the price of oil is really high and my camel ran off. It's just kind of, you know, it can be kind of a dirge. But it is minor key, but how many know the national anthem? I think we know that here. Yeah, it's amazing how many people don't and still try to sing it anyway. Just like America, Israel has a national anthem. It's called Hatikva, which is the hope. It's called the hope. Right before, just a couple months before the Six-Day War, back in 1967, a lady named Naomi Shemer wrote a song that's called Jerusalem of Gold. And it was kind of country western. It was kind of, oh, our citrons are all dried up and our hope is gone. And that's just really... But it was sung, and it actually became almost like America the Beautiful. You know, it's kind of like the second anthem, so to speak, right? So that is very a popular song in Israel. And so based on that song, we kind of rewrote the song to reflect our perspective in ministry. And so we'd like to sing that for you. It's called Jerusalem of Gold, okay? We're going to sing this with that instruments, Acapulco or whatever you call it. Whatever, yes, that's good. Okay.
The shofar sounds upon the mountain, the people come to pray. The hope, the coming of Messiah, oh, will it be today? The scripture tells us of his kingdom, the prophets of his birth. The psalmist sings of his salvation he brings to all the earth. Yerushalayim shel zachav, v'shel nechoshet v'shel or, halalechoshiraik ani kinor. Yerushalayim shel zachav, v'shel nechoshet v'shel or, halalechoshiraik ani kinor. For centuries our teachers told us, Messiah's but a man. He'll come when we rebuild the temple, and peace will be his plan. The veil of blindness still surrounds us. We do not see our need. Rejection of Jehovah's coming, the woman's promise seed. Yerushalayim shel zachav, v'shel nechoshet v'shel or, halalechoshiraich ani kinor. Yerushalayim shel zachav, v'shel nechoshet v'shel or, halalechoshiraich ani kinor. Oh, pray that we would now receive him, Yeshua, God's own Son. He bled and died and is arisen, in him the victory's won. We hear, we read the gospel message, and in the pews we stay. What will we do to serve Messiah? Will we his call obey? Yerushalayim shel zachav, v'shel nechoshet v'shel or, halalechoshiraich ani kinor. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, forever now and forevermore, our hearts will sing your song of glory, Jerusalem. Our hearts will sing your song of glory, Jerusalem.
Thank you. This way? Okay. Yes, ma'am. We've heard of Pastor Evans, but we've only been to one church there in Jerusalem, as far as a church. But we've heard of Pastor Evans. But oh, the temple? We promised we'd sing, and we sang, huh? Not much of a taste in men, but she can sing. She can. So that's a good thing. It's been a real privilege to be here with you folks today, and I appreciate your patience and appreciate your interest as we're looking at, we've had a lot of different things that we've brought just to kind of pique our interest about issues of reaching out to Jewish people. It's amazing that today there are actually more Jewish people in Israel than outside of Israel. That wasn't true 10 years ago when we left for the field. But Jewish people have been coming back, and that's basically the fulfillment of prophecy, yes? We have in Isaiah chapter 10, we have in chapter 11, we have different places in Scripture where it talks about the regathering of the nation of Israel. And we're actually talking about that with someone after services today, about that regathering in unbelief. Now, you remember, how many remember the dry bones prophecy and can tell me they remember it without singing the song? You remember the prophecy there in Ezekiel 37, right? The dry bones prophecy. And in that prophecy, and we were just talking about this. It was a neat conversation. Did you get the chance to roll that past a couple times and see what I meant? Okay, good. She still is absolutely positive that I'm wrong, but that's all right. That's all right. We were just talking about the vision that the prophet Ezekiel got. How's that? Like I said, no more front row people today. That's good. that the prophet Ezekiel got. And in this vision, God asked him, when he sees these valleys of very, very dry bones, he says, can these bones live? And, you know, thou knowest, Lord, you know, Ezekiel's response. And then we have this amazing prophecy of literally the bones coming together, great shaking. And the bones coming together, bone upon bone. You remember the prophecy. You know where I'm at there in Ezekiel 37. And then all of a sudden, though, you know, it comes together, and then sinew upon that, and then flesh, it says, come upon that, and skin comes upon that. And it even stands up, right? It even stands up, yet without breath in them. And that's where we are today, I believe. I believe the nation of Israel is gathering to the point where we're at this period of time where God is going to again pick up His plan for the nation of Israel, and that was described in the prophecy of Daniel chapter 9. Any Daniel chapter 9 fanatics here? Yeah, okay, you're out there. I can tell your face when I see it. I tell you that is one of the most chronologically descriptive prophecies in Scripture. But one of the things that's amazing about that is that it lays out how God is going to finish His plan with the nation of Israel. If you remember those six things He was going to do, He was going to, in this prophecy that is about the people of Israel and the city of Jerusalem, He was going to do six things. And you notice I separate them, okay, because I think they are separate. He's going to finish the transgression, He's going to make an end of sin, and He's going to make reconciliation for iniquity. Now, I mentioned this morning that the Leviticus chapter 16 passage, Yom Kippur. Those are exactly the same three things that are talked about in Yom Kippur from the standpoint of what's going to be accomplished from this opportunity of the high priest going into the holy place of the holy ones, the holy of holies, with that blood of that lamb. It was those three things, transgression, sin, and iniquity. Those are the same three things. And then the other three that are going to be accomplished is I want to make sure I get them right. To seal up the vision of the prophecy, seal up the vision of the prophecy. See, I got them out of order already. Down chapter 9, verse 24. To seal up the vision of the prophecy, to bring in everlasting righteousness. That's the one I usually forget. Seal up the vision of the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Thank you, Mrs. Rosencrantz. Thank you. The everlasting righteousness just evaporated. So those six things are going to be accomplished. Isn't it amazing, I think, that those first three things, the sacrifice for sin in the first coming of the Messiah of Jesus Christ has been accomplished in those first three things in the Daniel prophecy. And to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision of prophecy, anoint the most holy, that will be on the second coming of Jesus Christ. Remember, the second coming and the catching away of the church are two separate things, two different things. Many people get that mixed up, but that is a definition we need to understand. And I believe in his perspective of what he's going to do to reconcile Israel is going to be accomplished. And we look at this timepiece of Israel and we see when we are in this program, it is really absolutely amazing to see what's going on, to see, you know, the nations respond to, if you want, don't mind me calling it this, not only the plan of God, but the God of this world. I mean, things, the corruption of man's system is becoming more and more apparent, as we know it will. And from the standpoint of Israel being isolated, it's becoming more and more isolated, and they are trying to figure out just exactly when we can get that temple built, because that's the hope of the Jewish people. So, but I'm going to cover a little bit later on. I promise to show some slides. You guys want to see some slides? Before I do that, Pastor mentioned a couple things this morning I thought was interesting. We were talking about the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. We had someone visit us that actually worked ground crew for mission number 107, the Columbia. And he worked, he was a part of that ground crew. He worked with the pilots and the whole crew of 107. And one of those guys happened to be an Israeli astronaut. His name is Ilan Ramon. And if you remember the incident there, as they broke up as they came back into the Earth's atmosphere. It was a terrible tragedy. And the response of the president at that time, you know, sometimes the presidents say things right. And this was wonderful. And the president came on TV and he said, we know that none of the astronauts returned safely back to Earth, but we pray they arrive safely home. You remember that? I thought that was perfect. Well, Ilan Ramon is buried about 20 kilometers from where we live there in Haifa. And this man, a friend of ours, contacted us, said, hey, we're coming into Israel. Can we meet with you? And just in talking with him, he told us that he was on that flight. He was on the ground. He was not standing there under the rocket, you know, but he was responsible for a lot of the things on the ground. And Ilan Ramon came up and stuck his hand between two generals that he was talking to and said, I want to thank you for making us safe. And Ilan Ramon is a famous, this guy is the Luke Skywalker of Israeli, I don't know if that rings any bells, but of Israeli, the Israeli Air Force. This kid's first mission was the Osirak reactor in Iraq, if you remember when that was taken out. The most famous and the highest ranked Air Force aces in the IAF, the Israeli Air Force, went, and all of them spent their munitions and could not hit it. And it was almost like Ilan is flying in, and he did this. I'm not kidding. He turned off his targeting unit and went in, eyeball, and dropped that bomb and destroyed the reactor. That's this kid is famous. He grew up and his son was actually an Air Force pilot. Unfortunately, Ilan was killed in the space shuttle. His son was killed in a training accident in F-16 over there. And the newest airport there, international airports in the south, is the Ramon Airport, to their honor. But it was all, this guy who came was on that crew and was telling us this story. And when he said, I'd like to come back sometime. I'd like to find his grave just because I wanted to tell him I'm sorry because we didn't keep him safe. And that's sweet. Well, you don't tell me that and then think I'm not going to start thinking about it. So after we were coming back from a place, we showed him we were coming back and we were hungry. Let's go find something to eat. And where we end up, but in the cemetery where Ilan was buried. And I apologized to him, told him, I'm sorry, I didn't ask you this, but I just thought maybe this might be a place you'd want to come. The rest of your time is going to be on a tour. You'd never be able to do this, but this time. And so we went in. I said, I don't know where he's buried. So we went in and we found out. We walked in. There was a very obvious place. Moshe Dayan was buried in this place. And then I turned around and right behind me, I saw a space shuttle carved into a gravestone. And that was Ilan Ramon's. And we were able to let our friend Russell just spend some time there alone. just reconciles things. It was sweet. I appreciate someone coming all the way that far and wanting to make things right somehow, some way, at least for himself. But anyway, let's see some slides. I'll see if I can. Will this clicker work? Clicker. Okay. Yeah. It's always the roll of the lots. We are there in Haifa, Israel, and we're out of First Baptist Church of Pasco, Washington. Our sending agency is Baptist World Mission there in Decatur, Alabama. And how many have ever been to Israel? Okay, all right. I asked permission, so just so you know, I asked permission. If you guys would do something for me, pray about, I don't know if it's a budget line item, I don't know, but pray about starting something that would enable your pastor and his wife to go to Israel. Would you do that for me? I don't think, you know, they have all this spare time on their hands. They don't need another vacation. They have five kids. And I don't think it is a vacation. I think it's an education. And I really believe that it would be profitable for you. And just think about that. Just pray about that. Would you please? I think it's valuable. I really do. Anyway, so if you remember Elijah the prophet, Mount Carmel, we live on the range. It's not a hill. It's a range of mountains. And we live right there on the edge of that range there. And this is Haifa right here. Okay? I asked Pastor the other day, and he said, "I said, what's 90 miles from Soap Lake?" And he said, "Tri-Cities." Well, that's as far as it is from Haifa to Damascus. That's 90 miles. It's about 23 miles from Haifa to the guys up in Lebanon, the Hezbollah up there. And we have four different forces in the Golan that's already breached the security zone. We have the Iranian military, we have the Syrian rebels, we have the Syrian regulars, and we have ISIL, okay? How many know the difference between ISIL and ISIS? It was interesting, in the previous administration, there was only two people, the Secretary of State and the President of the United States, that used the term ISIL, okay? ISIS is a very common name here in the West. It means the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. You guys know that. It was right. But many times we don't know, we heard ISIL, we figure, well, maybe he's slurring his words. But ISIL means the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, okay? Now, we don't know what the Levant is over here in the West, but the Levant is a promised territory by the Brits after World War I that includes all of Iraq, all of what is Israel, part of northeastern Saudi Arabia, northwestern Saudi Arabia, part of northeastern Egypt. It's a big area, a big region. It's called the Levant, okay? And when you heard someone say ISIL, it's because they know what they're talking about. I always thought that was peculiar, that we had people that were using that term in our administration. I thought that was interesting. Anyway, but this is kind of the neighborhood we live in. We're about the same distance down to Jerusalem, and then that's basically the map. Just to give you a little context, okay? It's not a big place, all right? Most of us know the map of the Pacific Northwest, and out there in Puget Sound, there's this island hanging out, and that's basically the size of the nation of Israel. It's not a big place. The focus of our ministry, as I mentioned this morning, was to establish local churches there. This is our assembly. This happens to be in Tivon, when we were in a home church there. And also, one of the things we do is start Bible studies. Bible studies are much easier to invite people to than a regular service. Okay, we do follow the tradition that men are on one side and women are on the other, in just like synagogue. Okay. Women will feel much more comfortable coming to women's Bible study, and men will feel more comfortable coming to men's Bible study. So, you know, we'll just let them fight it out. But people will come to Bible studies initially when they might not come to churches. We have several new people coming to church, and it's a real blessing to have these people come and even take part in services, because many of these people have been taught, that, believe it or not, the Torah in school. And even though they might be unbelievers in the Word of God, they might be evolutionists from the standpoint of their belief about creation, they still study the Torah in school. Well, not here, it's illegal, of course. We work with a ministry opportunity. I was talking with a gentleman here earlier about different ministry opportunities in Israel. And we work with Project Nehemiah. And they are an organization that has people donate to new immigrants coming into the nation of Israel. New immigrants are ripe for the picking from the standpoint of Judaism and rabbis and things like that. And because Haifa is a area of influx, because it's a shipping port, they come in through Haifa. And what Project does is we access immigrant roles, and we meet we call these immigrants. They're met with this lady here on the end. Miss Marina is kind of she's the head manager person, just a wonderful servant of the Lord. And she arranges these meetings with these new immigrants, and we go, we provide them about a 25 or 30 pound bag of food. In this case, we're handing them blankets, and we want them to know, we want them to know that we are Christians. Even those of us that are Jewish are Christians, which starts, you know, that brings up a Scooby-Doo, you know, right there, you know, Scooby-Doos, you know, it's kind of a, you know, question, you know, it's okay. And we're passing these things out. Cindy right here is doing paperwork, actually. She's kind of attaching the person who gave that gift with the person who received that gift, and we're just there at this particular place passing these things out. Now, this little card that we give them has the name of the person that donated to this gift to them. It has some scripture verses in there. Now, one of the things that's peculiar in Israel is you cannot initiate a conversation about the gospel. It's called proselytizing. That's illegal. They don't want you to do that. But because we are providing something that the government would then have to provide, they allow us to do this, but we cannot proselytize, and we don't. But we also make sure that the government knows that if we're asked a question, we can answer a question. And that's what we use this ministry for. Because these people have been taught for centuries that you think us Jewish people are Christ killers. And here you are telling us that you love the nation of Israel, that there is only one God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's only one holy book, and you're there giving us things. And why do you do this? Well, let me tell you. And then the cat's out of the bag and we can proceed. But we do so following the rules. See, wherever you are, Soap Lake, Haifa, you need to understand how to minister effectively, how to work within what you have to work with and be able to penetrate so you have an opportunity to, because we are kind of in charge of the follow-ups. When these people, we say, no, this is what we want you to understand. And if you need someone to help you with this, you would come to my home? Sure, we'd come to your home. Well, now we've been asked to come to their home, and now we can give them copies of the scripture. We give out Hebrew Bibles, copies of the scripture to Jewish people. This is a full Bible. It's not just the New Testament. Many times Jewish people won't take a New Testament. So we give them a full Bible. That's what you carry, right? We give them a full Bible because if it comes up when they ask, well, what is Chabrit HaKadosha? You know, what is the New Testament? We don't use the New Testament. Well, it says right here, we happen to be in the book of Ezekiel, and it says that he would promise us a New Testament, promise us a new heart. We talked about that this morning, right? So we have opportunities, and we're just using Project Nehemiah as access in this way. And it is a real blessing to see the fruit that's born of that. This is a lady from Ukraine. As I mentioned to the folks in Sunday school, Cindy's grandfather's from Odessa. I almost said, yeah. Fiddler on the Roof, if you ever watched it, that's Cindy's people. And this lady is from Ukraine, heard that Cindy's grandfather is from Odessa, and they just were inseparable. And here we are giving her a copy of the scriptures. Jewish people, she said, never did this for us. Why would we do this for her? She calls us Hamishpacha Sheli. She calls us her family. Because someone cared. Because regardless, someone decided to say, you know what? We can help. And more important, it's not because we're good people, it's because God gives us an opportunity to share with you. And we want you to know that. And so we are ongoing with our ministry to Faina there. How many have ever heard of the Druze? The Druze. Okay, there's a group of people there in the Middle East called the Druze. They are Islamic offshoot, but they follow Moses. Figure that one out. Okay? And these people are new believers, and they're basically, they live in groups, you know, they live in villages, and these people are kind of outcasts in their village because they have decided to accept Christ. And we go and pray with them and encourage them. This is Ossie and Adele with their second son. How many like the New England Patriots? Great, great, great. Here we are. Well, I tell you what a brave man he is. Steve, right? Yeah, okay. Bob Kraft, who owns New England Patriots, has started short field 11 man football in Israel. And one of the people we work with, one of the fellow workers there in Israel, gets into the country by B1 coaching visa, and he coaches the Haifa football team, okay? And gives us an opportunity to get to know these men and to get into their lives because we are there for every game. Our son Philip played for the Haifa football, was the top defensive player in all of the nation of Israel for 2 years, and he's never played football. Gives you an idea of the caliber of play there, okay? Yeah, they're just used to a different kind of football, right? They're used to soccer. But anyway, this is the Haifa team, and we've had people over to our house. We've gone to their son's circumcision, the bris it's called. They've invited us to their family. We go to these people's weddings. And one of the reasons we have that opportunity is because Cindy and the coach's wife, Miss Nancy, have started. How many have ever heard of MOPS? Here in the you know what I'm saying when I say MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers. All right, you can identify those people just the look on their face. Cindy has kind of started. Cindy and Nancy have kind of started a ministry with that, and they do a craft. They have some snacks, and Cindy will do a devotion. You know, it's just something out of Psalms, something just, you know, not heavy-handed, but just, you know. And we have got so much feedback from the players. Thank you for doing this for my wife, my girlfriend. No one ever does stuff like this. Well, that's kind of the point. Pastor mentioned it from the standpoint of how we demonstrate to others what our belief is by the love of the brethren. And then extending that from the standpoint of people that need Christ, that is that opportunity. I just appreciate that. One of the other families we work with, the Ross family, get into the elementary schools playing softball and baseball. And as long as they speak English, they can come into the school. Because the school wants, they have to teach the kids English from the second grade on. And so someone will come in and speak English. Oh, that's a help. That's something I don't have to do. Go out and learn baseball. I don't care what you do. And so he's got a baseball team. This is someone I mentioned this morning. This is Shmuel Altman. He's 96 years old. He's our neighbor. He lives upstairs, and he's been in all of Israel's wars. And this is the guy that I had the discussion about Discovery Channel with, and about that God had created everything, not evolution, not the scientisti, and a dear man. And we're still praying for him and going through the scriptures with him. This is a man that at one time was downstairs when we lived next to Shmuel. Now we live under Shmuel, but this guy here cursed me out in English in front of the whole neighborhood out in the parking lot because he did not like where we put the air conditioner compressors. You know, they have the split units there? You know what I'm talking about? Okay. He didn't like that. They'll leak on my mother's lawn. Oh, yeah. And he just up one side and down the other. And I said, if you want to help, I'll have them move, but that's where they belong. You hang them outside the window. That's where the other ones were. And he just was, I'll come and tear them down. And finally, I tell, it'd take me six, you know, 7 or 8 weeks. I'll save and I'll move them. I have to move them. But what do you do in that kind of situation? So I called the guys that installed them, the installers. They came and said, what you need? I said, I need you to take the air compressors, the compressor units off the wall and put them up on the top. Why do you do this? Well, we're having troubles with it. Americans, don't let people push you around. Huh? Don't do this. Huh? You don't need to do this. I said, please, just go ahead and do it. We go down, we talk with them. Okay? We talk with them. No, don't do that. No, that's fine. We'll just move them. You know, you can throw a dead cat in their yard and they know that's a curse, you know? You can do that. Yeah, so. And there's cats everywhere in Israel, so I'm not lacking a cat. It's just that I don't think that's appropriate, you know? We've had a dead cat thrown on the hood of our car because they didn't like where we parked, okay? So it's anyway, no, please just move them. I move them, and the following week, I turn around, and there is Gaul standing there with his hand out, only the second time in all of, I think, Jewish history where a Jewish person made an apology. And he was standing there with his hand out, saying, I come to make apology. And just because I did what I said, just because I told him, I'll do this, they belong out where they are. That's where they were hung before, but you're my neighbor. And he just could not figure that out and hasn't been able to. And he's still working on it. And the first place that he brought, this is his new son, Shked, which is Hebrew for almond. The first place he brought Shked when he came, brought him home to the hospital was our apartment door. This is my son, Ben Shelley. This is my son. That's access. That's doing something that's going to make a difference. And I know it's simple. I know it's sometimes just, you know, it's all that. What big deal is that? For some people, it's a big deal. And for Gal and Natalie and the three kids, it was. So this is our dear friend, Eli Ben Yosef. Actually, you see in the corner, you almost see a scroll case like our Ruth scroll up there in the upper right hand. This is his little shop. I told people it's like a closet. It is. It is just a small little shop. But this is where Eli used to work out of. This is his main shop, and he has another place that he works with. But this guy, you know, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, as you're going down, it says that even to this day at the reading of Moses, that veil is still upon their heart, the Jewish people. And this guy writes Moses, and that veil is still there. But we pray for Eli. We introduce people to Eli because understanding how the scriptures are transmitted, I think, are valuable. This is our Hebrew teacher, Ms. Shosh Navot, a wonderful lady. She's been there since she was 3 months old, came to the country in 1933. Initially, she was working with us in modern Hebrew, and now when she finds out that we are interested in biblical Hebrew, now we're getting a twofer, and we're dear friends with her and her family. Both of her kids live in America and are saved. She's totally secular. Totally secular. She learned to read and write from the Torah scrolls when she was old enough there in Israel. But she's secular. But she still believes that biblical Hebrew is the ultimate from the standpoint of Hebrew language. So guess who gets to listen to our memory verses? And she loves it. She loves it. This morning, that you know the passage of scripture that's in the mezuzah, right? The Shema. How many of you have ever heard of the Shema? Okay. It goes this way. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Okay. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is thy God, the Lord is one. Okay? Now, to Jewish people, that's the essential. You come saying, well, this guy is, you say, this man is God. You say, Jesus is God. We believe there's only one God. That is Jehovah God, and there's nothing else. And so I'm sorry, you're an idolater. Can you see how that works? It's easy, right? Okay. I understand what you're saying. Shema Yisrael. Listen, Israel. Adonai Elokeinu, Lord is our God. Adonai Echad, Echad in Hebrew, okay? Let me ask you this. I just have one question. It says in Bereshit 2, in Genesis chapter 2, it says that so shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be Echad. Same word. So they're just one person, only one person now. No, they two people there. No, it's Echad. Echad is one. You just told me it can only be one. Well, I guess maybe not only one. I guess maybe Jesus, okay? Okay? So we're always trying to drive the conversation to that place in Scripture. So Ms. Shosh is listening to our verses and just admiring and correcting, but we pray that the Word of God will not turn into a void. Barak Ben Zion, his name Barak means thunder. This kid came to Christ. His parents don't like him, having anything to do with this man, Jesus. Some of his other relatives has physically threatened him. This kid cannot understand why people don't understand what Jesus came to do. This kid is on fire. And have you ever seen someone to come to Christ and then all you can see is taillights? Huh? This kid is just, he's just a wild man. And I love it. We're kind of his second parents. Let's see. This is on the right is Zuli. She came actually to study in the Technion Mathematica, and her friend Paulina, who's from Mexico City, brought her to our Bible study and our services, and Zuli accepted Christ. So that was that. You know, it's always wonderful to see to see it. I mentioned this morning that there are a lot of Jewish people in Mexico and, of course, in South America and Central America and Cuba, okay? Why are there so many Jewish people there? Anybody know? There's actually a book I found in a library one time. We were in a Barnes & Noble, and I thought it was a joke book, but it said, you guys remember, we'll recognize this title. It was Jewish Pirates of the Caribbean. Now, we've heard of Pirates of the Caribbean, right? This was Jewish Pirates of the Caribbean. I thought it was a joke book. No, it was written by a naval historian who recorded that most of the pirates in the early Caribbean pirates were Jewish. Why? Because besides Columbus sailing the ocean blue in 1492, there was a little something called the Inquisitions, the Spanish Inquisitions, where you had to leave, convert, or die. Okay? Now, if you're in Spain and you need to get out, what kind of ship are you going to jump on? And where are you going to go? Right? That's why that movement of Jewish people into the New World in those areas, that's why. They just jumped on a galleon, and then when finally, you know, they were able to, through funds or through connections or whatever, turn things around, payback, payback is interesting. This, I talked about Purim with someone. This is a celebration of the deliverance of God from the Persians when Haman, evil Haman, was going to destroy. Yes, that's what we want to hear. We want to hear hissing when you hear that man's name. We invited people from university. You can see Paulina and Zuli right there on the left. And then some other kids come down from university, and we would have Bible study and read all 10 chapters of the book of Esther. Why not? Why not? Because this time, instead of, and believe me, Purim is almost like Halloween is here. You see people dressed up like, of course, like Wonder Woman, like Superman, like Esther, like Mordecai, and if you see any Hamans, you'll see, we were driving into our neighborhood, and I saw this guy wearing an orange toga with black dots on it, carrying a club, and I just rolled down the window and said, "Yabba dabba doo," and he waved his club at me, they go all out for Purim, it's crazy. But in this instance, it was an opportunity to sit down and read 10 chapters. Okay? That's never a bad thing. This is Miss Cindy. She does have a ministry from the kitchen. She's made some, here we have some Grandma June's oatmeal muffins. She makes wonderful chalot, challah bread, the Jewish Sabbath bread, and distributes that to the neighbors. She's just, and they can't figure it out. Because, of course, when you come and give Jewish people something, okay, that's good. That's a good deed that you do. It's called mitzvah. Anybody heard of a mitzvah? Okay, a mitzvah is a good deed. It's in place of sacrifices. The good deeds, mitzvot, are in place of sacrifices because you don't have opportunity at the temple. So we do mitzvot. But if you come and you bring challah bread 1 week, okay, that's a mitzvah, but that's all. You don't get credit for more. You don't keep coming back, mitzvah, mitzvah, mitzvah. You know, you don't get that. Come on. Well, Cindy comes back. She comes back and gives you, you know, what she bakes. And to Jewish people, this is mama. This is something that the Jewish mom does. We have met with Israelis here in America, and Cindy on Friday evenings will take them chalot. They'll be working in the mall, and we'll bring them challah, and they will get out their phone and call their moms back in Israel and said, "This is the challah lady. You talk." Effectively. Figure out some way to penetrate and get in to hearts. Here we are just going to services. Every home in Israel, every person in every home has access to basically a safety box. And you have a mask with a cartridge on it. You have an EpiPen for biologicals. You're ready to go if you need be. That's just kind of the way life is there. It's just kind of, here we kind of go, man, that is really weird. And there it's just kind of, that's the way it is. It just, because, everyone surrounding Israel wants its destruction. And so it is just kind of the way of life there. But anyway, there's hope. There's hope. And this is the hope of many Jewish people. It says right here on this sign, you'll see this sign all over the nation of Israel. Echiecha melech ha-moshiach, it says in Hebrew, this will be King Messiah. This guy is a Russian-born rabbi who died 19 or 20 years ago in New Jersey, and they believe this guy is going to be Messiah. That's him. He has absolutely no connections with Scripture. He has absolutely nothing in Scripture that shows that he was born anywhere at any time before any major event that happened. But it's been longer than 3 days and three nights by my calculations. But he's going to be the Messiah. It's got to be him. Can't be that man, right? Even to the point, and this was a picture I took just a couple years ago, but even to the point, just several months ago, another poster went up, okay? Now, basically the same name, same guy, same picture of this guy. And it says, one solution, and in Hebrew, the word Mashiach is, of course, Messiah, right? You've got that, all right? But look, it says, one solution, one answer, Mashiach ben Dovid. Now, those of you that know enough Hebrew, what's that say? Son of David. Now, if you talk about fake truth, huh? Now we're all of a sudden making ascriptions. This guy is the son of David. He has absolutely no connections to that. But we're gonna let people know. We're gonna keep repeating this. Doesn't this sound like what's going on just about in every corner of the world from the standpoint of you hear it? And then all of a sudden, you know, well, maybe. Boy, it's dangerous. Pray for the Jewish people. This is the picture at Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Museum there in Jerusalem, of the Exodus, and which was an incredible event for the nation of Israel. So just want to say thank you. Todah Rabah in Hebrew. Thank you very much for praying for the salvation of Jewish souls. I've mentioned to the pastor that less than 10% of biblical Christianity believes that Jewish people need to be evangelized, okay? That's sad to us. I believe it's a responsibility in some way, because Jewish people are everywhere, okay? They're everywhere. Why? We'll talk about that a little bit tonight. But it's an opportunity that we need to address. It's a responsibility that we need to grasp. And I just appreciate those that understand that, again, as chosen people, though we might be, unless we choose Christ, we're lost. Amen? All right. Would you turn with me? Where do I want to go first? I just mentioned that slide before was the Exodus, them coming out of Egypt. That was a sentinel moment in the nation of people. Israel was considered to be born during that time of the Exodus. And you know, from the standpoint of this period of time where this takes place is in the book of In English, it's Exodus. In Hebrew, the word is Shemot, because it just the first words in the beginning of the book of Exodus. These are the names. So Shemot is names. That's the name of the book. But in delivering the nation of Israel from captivity, there was a purpose for that, and God has, I believe, a purpose for everything. But do you remember I talked about Charlton Heston this morning? / Moses, right? Moses went into Yul Brynner and said, "Let my people go," right? Right? Et cetera, et cetera. He said, if you remember, this is not, and you know what? I've given that, obviously, I've given that Ten Commandments movie a lot of grief over the years, because that's what most people know about the Old Testament is from that movie. And it's sad. I think it's really sad when we have the text, we have the narrative right here. But understand that, okay, but from the standpoint when Moses went into Pharaoh and he said, "Let my people go," can I turn you to the book of Exodus chapter 5? And remember I mentioned this morning about the festivals of Israel. Now this is pre-festival, right? This is before the festivals were even given, but it talks about something here in this passage in Exodus chapter 5. It says this, "And afterward," I'm in the AV here, so pardon me if it, "But afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus saith the Lord.'" That's kind of definitive. This is God speaking. "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go," and look at this, "that they might hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." Scooby-Doo. What feast in the wilderness? Now, when Israel left Mizraim in Hebrew, when Israel left Egypt and God brought them out, it says in the third month they got to where they were going. They crossed the Red Sea. They got to Mount Sinai. depending on where that is, there's a lot of interesting archaeology about where that place is and where they crossed. And I personally believe it's a place in Arabia called Jabal al-Az, because the archaeological evidence is incredible there. Anyway, so they crossed over, and it was in the third month, it says, when they arrive. Okay? And at that time, the Jewish people put a pin in that chronology that on the sixth of the month of Sivan, which is the third month, in the sixth of Sivan is when God called Moses up and gave them the Ten Commandments. Okay? Now this, later on in the book of Leviticus, becomes the Feast of Weeks. The sixth of Sivan is the Feast of Weeks. And on the Feast of Weeks, they believe that's when the law was given. Isn't it interesting? And perhaps a mere coincidence, that on the 6th of Sivan, on the Feast of Shavuot, on the Feast of Pentecost, the Spirit was given. That is when the Spirit was given. Because remember, the cross was accomplished, and that is necessary. Okay? I know, believe me, I know there's scholars out there, and I'm wrong, and okay, that's fine. At least I'm biblical. Okay? No, honestly, I don't care if I'm right. I have no concern about being right. I do care that I'm biblical. Because if I'm right, I'm going to defend my position because it's right. But if I desire to hold positions that are true with the Scriptures, if someone says, oh, Brother Steve, what about this? What am I going to say? Nuh-uh. Or am I going to say, well, thus saith the Lord? So that's something that's interesting with the way things are going today. And these people who believe that you can have the church, or there was a church, all these other things, you just like Yom Kippur, you can't have sin removed until first there is blood shed. And this time, it's one time for sin forever. The sin of the world was paid for. Amen? And that is why, and only that is why, we can be indwelt by the Spirit of God, not before. The old covenant economy, the Spirit would come upon you, but then it would leave. Many people, especially King Saul, experienced that, right? We are sealed unto the day of redemption because that sacrifice for sin forever. Our sins are not covered. Our sins are not merely swept under the rug. Our sins are gone. Do you at least understand me, how important that is to understand the power of the blood of Christ? And why that is so incredibly a fulfillment of what used to be happening in the system of atonement back here. Because that was what happened this year. And next year we're going to have to do it again. No more. That is the power of the blood of the Lamb of God. Amen? So in coming through, you've got this event where in the Feast of Pentecost had fully come in the book of Acts. All of a sudden, there was a lot of Jewish people in Jerusalem because it was one of the three Levitical feasts. Remember? Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Weeks, or Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Booths. Those three you had to be in Jerusalem for, and they were there for it. And all of a sudden, when the Spirit of God was poured out, and it says that people heard their own languages. They heard literally the gospel in their own language. I don't know if it's a gift of tongues or the gift of ears, but whatever, in their own language, right? But that was prophesied back in the old covenant that was going to happen. Okay, with the tongues of nations will ye hear? There's passages that talk about that this is going to be fulfilled, and all of a sudden now the Spirit of God is poured out. You've got Spirit-filled former just Jewish apostles, Jewish disciples. Now you've got this guy that cannot say three words without sticking his sandal in his mouth, Peter, and this guy can preach. This guy can let it loose because this is a different situation. And about how many are saved that day, do you remember? About 3,000. Do you remember when Moses came down, there was a rebellion, how many died when the law was given? About 3,000. That's a coincidence, I'm sure. So you have to give up on coincidence when you're talking about things in Scripture, because God has designed this, that we, if we will seek Him and we will let the Spirit of God teach us, these things kind of just come out. These things become apparent. And you will never wring all of it out of here. there's too much that God has done and that God wants us to know about him, but let's at least do what we can while we can, because that is what gives us the material to tell someone of that hope. We don't have to follow a rote set of sales tools. You know what I'm saying? Evangelism is not salesmanship. This is not marketing. This is just telling them what you know to be true, because this is where I was and this is where I am now. I just know that was true for my life. And that same offer goes for you. I just want to tell you. That is not tough, because that was given to us by the Spirit of God when he saved us. We're given that testimony. And it doesn't have to be flowery. It just is, this is as simple as what I can tell you. This is where I was, and this is where I am now. So during this time, it's amazing, I think, that during this festival of Shavuot, that the Spirit was given on the anniversary of when the law was given. Everything has a connection there. But I've mentioned all day something I just want to discuss with you as we close. I know I don't want to keep us long tonight. But I've said many times that there is a reason why. Taurus, do you remember we were talking this morning? And do you remember we talked about Romans chapter 11, verse 25? You remember that from this morning? Oh, that's right. But we were talking about, you said something that was very, very interesting. Whose time is it now, if you remember? Interesting. Good question. I appreciate that. That's right. That's what we talked about. But I appreciate you asking the question, because some people don't believe that Jewish people can come to Christ. That's right. Whosoever. Bless your heart. Yeah. 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 Well, good for you. Yeah. Good. Pretty good. But praise the Lord that God has done that for us. He knows that. That's right. Amen. That's right. Yeah. Amen. Amen. All right, let me continue from the standpoint of that question that I mentioned that we were talking about this morning. Again, thank you for asking it. Some people just sit there and nod their head, not say a word, and you did. God bless you. Thank you. The question was that blindness in part, because a lot of people don't believe Jewish people can be saved. Blindness in part has happened unto Israel. That's Romans 11:25. Has happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, right? That's what we're familiar with. Why are Jewish people called blind? Or some people think it's just blind, but we know it's blindness in part. And I believe it's this way. Just think about this. It's blindness as a nation, not as an individual, okay? Or there wouldn't be that word whosoever, right? So blindness in part. Why is Israel blind? Why are the Jewish people considered blind? Now, a lot of people have the perspective, and this is common. So, how many people believe that they're blind in part because of the rejection of Jesus? Okay? Sorry. I mean, that's kind of, that's a slow curveball. Just swing at it, right? Because of that rejection, the Jewish people are blind. Okay? Let me ask you this. How many here have rejected Christ at one time or another? Okay? All right? Now, true, did the Jewish people, many of them rejected Christ. There were some. The early church was almost exclusively Jewish, though, right? Remember this verse? Just think about it in this way, though. He came into his own. Who's that? And his own received him not. Okay, Jews. But as many as received him, who's that? Jews. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And that is an incredible whosoever. Amen? But the early church was almost exclusively Jewish. But they did what they shouldn't have done, and they didn't do what actually God called the Jewish people to do. And personally, that is why I believe the Jewish people are in the condition they are today. They indeed did reject Christ. We'll agree on that, right? But is rejection an uncommon thing? Unfortunately not. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 19. Pardon me, I said Leviticus. Exodus is what I meant. I was still in Exodus. Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. This is right at the time of Shavuot or Pentecost. Okay? And let's start with me in verse 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called him out of the mountain, saying, Thus thou shalt say unto the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, that ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. And that was interesting. Brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then shall ye be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. What did God deal with the nation of Israel for? To make them a kingdom of priests. What was their responsibility as a kingdom of priests? They were, by the plan of God, it says in Yeshayahu, Isaiah, three times, 42, 49, 60, three times it says there that you will be a light to the nations, a light to the Gentiles. All people will come to your light. They were supposed to be the standard. This is who God is. This is the approach to God. This is how he is going to reconcile mankind to himself. That was the nation of Israel's responsibility as a nation, as a kingdom of priests, to show this to the world. Jonah, yes. I want you to go up north to the largest Gentile city in the world, Nineveh, and tell them they need to repent. What? The Gentiles? Oh, send me to the northern tribes. Those guys are, man, Amos got to go there. What are you sending me to Nineveh for? Come on. This is, I'm taking a boat. Right? He got him out. And he left, and God convinced him just exactly what he expected of him. And here we have Jonah coming to that reality, and the guys are saying, man, something's wrong. And Jonah raises his hands, it's me, so pardon the vernacular, but you know what I'm saying. And they toss him overboard, and a great fish comes by and swallows him and then deposits him on the beach to go to where he was called to go in the meantime. How many know what that path is like besides me? You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry, some of us are just that way, people. The main god in Nineveh, you love this. The main god in Nineveh is Dagon, the fish god. So when some big comes and barfs some guy up on the beach, he's all covered, he's white, covered with seaweed, and he comes walking in, you know, that's kind of a shock, right? I'm sorry, just that's kind of funny. And he says, repent, right? And you know what happened? From the king on down, they repented. And Jonah, being a good Jewish boy, he rejoices. Look at this. Man, we're going to have this guy to come in on Wednesday night. We're going to put it on the reader board. Jonah here speaking tonight. This guy can't preach. Man, last time, a whole city of them. Mayor on down, they all repented. We got to book this guy. Ooh. Right? No, he threw a pity party. God, I knew that's what you're going to do. I knew it. All of them, there they are, repenting. Bless their little Gentile hearts. Look at them all, just like something you would do. Me and my gourd. Sulking about God saving. Yet that's what the Jewish people were called to do, was to do that. Was to go and be that light. Not form Judaism. Not play church. Because we have a commission as well. All right? I just want us to think of something as we close tonight. God set the nation of Israel aside because I believe they didn't do what they were called to do. How shall we escape? I lost five family members in the Stutthof camp. If anybody has ever gone to the camps, Stutthof is just up northern Poland, Gdansk. The Nazis were very fastidious in making sure they took notes and they made lists of the prisoners. To see your family on those lists, it's just absolutely devastating. I have a list out there. It almost looks like it says email list, but it's enamelware. German enamelware fabric. A place in Germany that a guy named Oskar Schindler took Jewish people and gave them positions and then literally purchased them. With all the money that he made on them, he spent all of his money to purchase them to a camp in Czechoslovakia, Brenlitz camp. And there comes this list, and you'll see it back there. And back there on that list, you'll see prisoner number 68954, Maximilian Rosencrantz. See, people, because there's a good list out there. You know what I'm talking about? Listen to me. There's a good list out there. It's called the Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Life. And have your name inscribed on there is just that. It's life. But all around us, we live around a world that thinks they're just going to work, thinks they're just going doing the same thing they do every day, and don't realize they're marching up those ramps on those cattle cars. Because that's what Jewish people did. This will change. This has happened before. We're just going to, 2 years, it'll be over, and it was over like that. Such a big list. It doesn't need to be. Because God has sent his people, a peculiar people, to go and tell the world what the list of life is and what he's done to put them on there and what he's paid to put them on there. Jewish people had a responsibility. I believe that. I believe the condition that we have of the Jewish people today is not just merely because of rejection, because who amongst us, right? But they didn't do what God called them to do. Now, this is not some heavy-handed admonition, please understand. But I just want us to understand that we have a mission. We have an opportunity. It's not a responsibility, it's an opportunity. But it is something that God has given us and filled us with His Spirit to accomplish. And it's not difficult just to let people know that my life was changed by Jesus Christ. And if you get an opportunity, I'd like to tell you just exactly how. You asked me first, so I'm just telling you, this is why I'm not worried about the election. This is why I'm not worried about the way things are in the country and with all the different political things and all the different financial. I'm just not worried because the one I serve, the one who paid for my life, holds it in His hand, and it's called grace, and it's my life, and I want you to know that same thing. That's not marketing. That's not sales. That is testimony and witness to what you know that God has done for you. Hey, folks, I appreciate, let's take a little time. I appreciate you letting us come, Pastor, letting us come up and I hope that we've been somewhat effective from giving you an idea of what's going on in Israel. But if you have any questions tonight, we'll stay around as long as we need to. Let's pray and dismiss. If Pastor has anything else, I'll let him do that. But let's just pray. And I appreciate your attention tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Lord that incredible appointment that you made, that you said in Scripture that you would be required by your own law to come and die as a sacrifice for sin for everybody forever. And Lord, we see those incredible pictures in the Scripture. We see those things that you have given to at first the kingdom of priests, as you call the Jewish people. They were not a great people. They were not an astounding people, but you gave them a responsibility to be the light to the world. And Lord, we see from that nation them being cut off. And then, Lord, we see another being grafted in. So, Lord, I just pray we would understand that we should not boast against the natural branches, that we should understand the opportunity you've given us, and we should seek, even for those, Lord, that you called first, the Jewish people, we should seek that they would know the truth of the magnitude of your redemption. And Lord, we just thank you for that. Bless these people here in Soap Lake. Lord, give them boldness. Lord, give them opportunity. Open hearts before them. Lord, that's the only way we can see people come to you is when your Spirit opens hearts. And I pray that would happen. Lord, those of us that have loved ones or friends or neighbors, Lord, that are hurting, we pray that we would just contact them. Let them know we'll pray for them. Let them know we care. You care. You died for the world, the sin of the world. And Lord, we just pray that, Lord, you would give us opportunity like that. Thank you again for these people. Thank you for Pastor and his family. Bless them richly for that. We just ask this in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe and the lover of our souls. Amen and amen. Pastor, do you have anything?
No, thank you, Steve. And don't forget to look at the people as you go out. And if he lets you see this, look at this.
Please. It's got the quills in it, though. Watch it.
So what's really cool about this is probably one of the oldest copies of God's Word that you'll probably ever get close to. So this is 480 years old?
460, yeah.
460 years old. And so anyways, if you get a chance to look at this, do. But do be really careful with the stuff on the table, because some of it is very old. But anyway, so you are dismissed, and Steve and Cindy, if you can go out and stand by your table, you can take that with you. But,
really? Okay. Questions and answers?
Yeah, let's do it out there.
Out there, that's fine. That's fine.
If you have questions for them, just approach them and ask them some questions.
Gotcha.
And it's been a blessing to have you. You are dismissed. Thank you for coming tonight.